Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio as we continue to navigate through some pretty much uncharted waters. I don't think there's any question about that. Some concerning news out there yesterday. The first case in Clark County, it sounds like, according to news reports, someone that worked at Humana, which there had been a reported case or two perhaps from Humana and downtown Louisville previous to that, maybe even as late as the weekend. But Floyd County, Clark County, the heart of this program, the heart of this radio station as far as our footprint and our history, both affected up close and personal with cases. And I think you have to assume if one person has it and there's maybe days of no symptoms, likely there's other people that they passed it to, maybe just before they realized that they were ill or it was a possibility that they had COVID-19. So we are affected locally, both counties. We had Mayor Jeffersonville Mayor Mike Moore with us yesterday. We wanted to talk some, obviously, about the current crisis going on, but some about lighter subjects, what's going on in Jeff and things like that. But we're going to do that from time to time here over the next few weeks or perhaps longer as we want to keep this show going, be a daily voice for not just Southern Indiana sports, but for all things Southern Indiana as well. So Mayor Mike Moore with us yesterday. If you missed that, you want to hear what he had to say, you can check it out on the podcast. And, of course, the big news today in the world of sports is basically the sports world has come to a halt. IU making some news yesterday afternoon when it announced that pending board approval in, I believe it's later in April, Indiana has named Scott Dolson as its new athletic director, replacing Fred Glass, who's set to retire. I believe it's at the end of the school year, which I guess you could argue that date right now, but definitely later this spring. Fred Glass will retire. Scott Dolson should be a familiar name, longtime administrator in the athletics department, has kind of worked his way up through the chain. Full release from Indiana with lots of details on who he is and kind of his path to the athletic director's position. But he's most recently been IU's deputy athletic director and chief operating officer of intercollegiate athletics since 2009. Before that, he was for 7 years president of the or director of the IU Varsity Club. So obviously, he's worked with lots of alumni, as well known here in Southern Indiana, working with the local Varsity Club chapter, well known across the state of Indiana as well. And I believe I read somewhere, I have to go back, and maybe it's in this press release further than what I read this morning, but I believe he was a former manager for the IU basketball program as well. I do know he's a Michigan City, Indiana native, so he's from up in northwestern Indiana, the region area of Indiana. But Scott Dolson, the new athletic director, and I do think it's very interesting to note that he's an internal candidate. There were mentions of some other somewhat serious candidates that had connections to the IU program, but obviously were not internal figures in the athletic department. But obviously Dolson gets the nod. I do think it's interesting that you pick someone from within. Obviously the people in charge at Indiana, and I think most people would agree that they're happy with the job Fred Glass has done. Normally when a replacement comes for a big job from someone that was their understudy or one of their assistants, it means that they want to kind of carry on the current way of operations, carry down the current path that things are on with the IU athletic department. And I think really when you look at sports and facilities and fundraising and things that Fred Glass has been a part of, most of it's really good. probably the one thing, the one area of concern is IU basketball. Obviously, he's the one that made the decision ultimately with, I'm sure, lots of pressure to fire Tom Crean. Obviously, he's the one that went out and led the search for Indiana's next coach. Archie Miller will always, even when Fred Glass is retired and no longer with the program, Archie Miller will always be labeled as Fred Glass's guy. I don't think there's any question about that. So ultimately, even though Fred leaves with lots of accomplishments under his belt and lots of good improvements for many, many, many sports and many, many facilities in Bloomington, he ultimately will be judged, what, 2-3 years or longer down the road with the success of IU basketball under Archie Miller, or perhaps the lack there of success moving forward under Archie Miller. I can assure you that no one cheering as hard knowing he's going out the door for Archie Miller to get in the tournament this year and change that narrative, at least from the past two seasons, than obviously his boss, Fred Glass. So Scott Dolson, good guy, likable guy, well-known person. I like it. That's the choice Indiana has made. And again, this is all pending a board approval coming up later in September. And who knows how things are going, if they'll even have a board meeting in September. I think it's the Board of College Regents or whatever the official board is that has to approve him. Maybe they'll do video conferencing or whatever. But obviously, big news that affects all of IU sports. I'm not sure that it's big news that affects or could potentially affect IU sports in the way that someone from the outside would, because when you get an outside candidate, obviously probably going to come in and want to change some things, probably going to want to come in and set things up their way, which is very understandable. But an internal candidate, you just don't expect a ton of changes to be made with how things go, at least on a day-to-day basis, and with who some of the head coaches and the assistant coaches and so forth are, because Scott Dolson obviously has been very involved in a lot of those hirings, a lot of those processes, a lot of those sports, and so he will, I would say, carry on things pretty much as normal. But a new person in place, such a big job, such an important job, so many things fall under the auspices of an athletic director at the college level nowadays, things that we can't even really fathom, so many different responsibilities. And again, Scott Dolson, the internal guy, gets the job for Indiana. A couple other things as we welcome you in. Let's take a look at our Honey Baked Ham show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Yes, they are still open. You can go in, pick up your ham, your turkey, if you're looking for great bread, lunch meat, whatever it may be. Honey Baked Ham's got you covered. They're even doing some curbside stuff that you can call and find out more. We'll be telling you more about some of that a little bit later in the week. But coming up here, segment one, I got a couple quick headlines. In addition to the Dolson hiring, we'll go through presented by Zaxby's. Later in the show on this Wednesday, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, he joins the program. We'll talk Dolson's hire as the new AD. We'll talk what a college basketball fan can do right now to pass some of their downtime. Maybe you're not a movie person. Maybe you're not big, on Netflix series. Maybe you're not a binge watcher of shows. What can you do to keep yourself busy with no sports on television? We'll talk some about that with Dustin. And more on IU this season. I think it's fun to look back at this team and talk about where they were at when the season ended, which I think is a very good place. And, of course, what the NCAA tournament could have looked like for them. We'll do that more with Dustin when he joins us. Also with Dustin, I've had a couple people tweet me saying, hey, here are some suggestions on topics, or here are some questions for you to ask, or here are some guests for you to have maybe in the sports world or not in the sports world. Love to hear from you. Normally I have a plea with you at the beginning of the show to tweet me or Facebook as comments, and you're still welcome to do that. But we're going to use these upcoming weeks to talk to some people that maybe we normally wouldn't, recognize some people maybe that we normally wouldn't, whether it's sports or even outside of sports. But one thing that you guys have, I've had a couple people at least ask me, what's the Big Ten Conference look like for next season? What's the way too early look at the Big Ten Conference for the 2020-2021 season? I'm going to ask Dustin. He's going to be the first person I pose that question to today. Give me a look, Dustin, when he joins us, of what you think the Big Ten looks like for next season. Later in the program, Josh Cook joins us, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. We'll catch up with Josh on what's going on locally. Obviously not a lot, but I'm curious Josh's feelings. Does the state tournament in boys basketball legitimately have a chance to get made up? My thought is no, but I'll tell you more about that with Josh on some rumors going around out there about at least when they're possibly talking about making it up. And also with Josh, does spring sports happen? Even if the basketball tournament can't be continued, even if school is delayed till maybe the final few weeks of the school year, do they try to have some sort of spring season when this stuff clears up, when the CDC says it's okay to get back even to a somewhat normal life, even if it means without parents and without fans in the stands? Do they try to have maybe just a state tournament? Maybe there's no regular season. Maybe they go right to sectionals. Is that even a possibility? I think it's wishful thinking, given what we're being told on a national level, but we'll talk with Josh about it a little bit later when he joins the show today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can stop by. They're still open. They've got curbside service. You can call ahead as well. All the lunch meat, ham, turkey, bread, lots of other things at Honey Baked Ham. And tell them you get a box lunch if you tell them you listen to this radio program. They'll give you a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And again, they are open normal hours for now, and things have still been busy there. So make sure you stop by, support all local businesses, but support Honey Baked Ham as well. All right, let's take a quick look at some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Obviously, the big news, Scott Dolson, the assistant AD, associate AD, named new director of intercollegiate athletics at Indiana. That's the official title. Also, I think it's worth noting, IU women's basketball. We all talk a lot about the men's program, and obviously that's the tradition, and how what a good close they had to the season, and the fact that they likely were getting in the NCAA tournament. Yes, we talk about all of that. But let's give some credit to the IU women's basketball program. They finished the 2019-2020 season in both major polls, ranked in both major polls. That's something that has never happened until now. First time in program history. They close out the season number 20 in the Associated Press poll, number 22 in the USA Today / Women's Coaches Association poll. Very, very impressive year, 24-8 overall. That was a new program record for total wins in a season, 13-5 in the Big Ten Conference, which also sets a new program record for the total number of wins in the Big Ten season as well. And they had some big highlights throughout the year, some big wins over ranked teams. They beat South Carolina in the Paradise Jam. They won on the road at number 21 ranked at that time, Miami. And again, Allie Patberg, Grace Berger, both first-team selections as redshirt junior, Allie Patberg is, sophomore guard, Grace Berger is. Patberg, former Miss Basketball, went to Notre Dame, transferred to Indiana, was eligible this season. And Grace Berger, a sophomore, she's from right here in the area. She went to high school just across the river at Sacred Heart, and obviously a very good player that already early in her college career is getting some big accomplishments as well. Other headline today, this is more of a fun headline. With the cancellation of the NCAA tournament this year, obviously one of the things we all look forward to at the end of the tournament, which is really early April, the one shining moment music with the highlight montage, the highlight video that airs on national television after the national championship game. Often the teams will stay on the court and look up at the big scoreboard in the center of the building and watch the video unfold, the highlights unfold. And it's amazing. They get videos from that very national highlights from that very national championship game in the video very quickly. But Indiana came up with its own one shining moment video that kind of takes you through the season. And obviously it's not a championship season or anything like that, but it's pretty neat to look back on some of the big moments, some of the big shots, some of the big plays, and remember those moments and remember those times and who they were against. And I'm not sure. I think somebody, one of the big national college basketball guys, if I remember correctly, put out a challenge for each school to come up with their own one shining moment montage. And so there have been a lot of them. This is Indiana's rendition, and definitely worth checking out. You can find it on IU Men's Basketball Twitter account. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget Zaxby's, with a location in Jeffersonville and New Albany as well. Stop by, go through the drive-thru today. Great chicken tenders and a lot more at Zaxby's and Jeff and Zaxby's in New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Yes, we'll talk college basketball, IU basketball, Big Ten Conference for next season, and a lot more coming your way next. This is a Wednesday edition of The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. And Dustin covers IU, Purdue, Butler college basketball for The Athletic. And he joins us Wednesdays as we talk about IU, the Big Ten, and more. Dustin, what in the world do college basketball fans do? I'm not a big movie guy. I'm not a huge Netflix binge watcher of certain series. I guess the best option you can offer me is maybe some old classic IU and college basketball games, which are kind of fun, especially if you can't remember exactly who won. You put the phone away, you don't look up anything about that game, and take in some of the classics. I think last night, I didn't stay up for it, but last night the IU watch shot game was on, if I remember correctly. There have been some other good ones recently on as well, and I'm sure the Big Ten Network and ESPN and others that are struggling to come up with stuff to air are going to continue down that path. But what an odd time and what an odd way to get your college basketball fix, especially on March 18th.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's what a lot of people are doing. I keep seeing people popping up on my Twitter feed saying, hey, you know, this game's on the Big Ten Network, or this game's on ESPNU, or this game's on somewhere else. I mean, just I get into movies in like regular TV a lot, so I'm sort of going down that path. I almost feel weird watching old games because it's like, okay, just keep reminding yourself what you're missing and what you would be doing right now. So like I kind of go against that idea. But for people that are into it, that just sort of want the fix and just want to see it and want to be reminded of what they're being doing, like there's a lot of different channels that are showing that. Obviously, you can watch them on YouTube as well. I know Galen Clavio, I think, from IU's Media Center, Media School, has been taking a lot of old Indiana games and putting them on YouTube. I don't know what exactly he has to do or what format he has them on, but I know he's loaded some of those onto YouTube that you can go find some old games, some of which might not be obvious. Might have to dig a little bit deeper. So that's the kind of stuff you can find, digging in there. But I think MLB Network's doing stuff like that too. Ken Burns is making baseball available, I think, for live streaming, I think, on Netflix or something like that. So there's, basically all of those stations have to do something. I think SportsCenter is being bailed out by the fact that the NFL is still running through its free agency, and then that allows for some level of sports news. Obviously, with Tom Brady deciding to go to the Bucs yesterday, that obviously creates a news cycle that hadn't been there otherwise. So there's stuff. You got to work hard to watch it, but like you said, there's a lot of availability for classic games, but it is just bizarre, to think. It feels weird that it's still only Wednesday, that the tournament wasn't going to start until tomorrow, because it feels like so long ago now the tournament was canceled. Like, that feels like another lifetime.
Yeah,
at this point. It's strange to think of it that way, but it feels like so far back because everything just moved so fast and there was just such a turnover in the way we were looking at the world and what we could do in such a fast pace that it feels like the tournament should already be over, but like it would not have even started yet. We would still have first four games tonight, but it feels like so long ago that we've had so long to adapt to the fact that it's not going to be played, that it feels like a month ago now.
Absolutely. Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, news yesterday from the IU side of things that kind of was unexpected and I think welcomed at this time with nothing going on. And that's that we now know who will officially replace Fred Glass. I assume that he's still with school and spring sports out. I assume he's still going to work through maybe a May date or a late April date. I'm not exactly sure when this transition will take place, but we know now who will replace him, and that's Scott Dolson. And he sure is a longtime figure in IU basketball, in IU athletics. And so what do you make of seeing someone like Scott Dolson that's been around for so long, that was a right-hand type person to Fred Glass, now ascend to the head athletics position?
Yeah, no, I got a chance to talk to Fred yesterday and to Bill Steffen, who was in charge of the committee. And what you know, first off, what Bill said is that what seems obvious just by the hire is the committee felt like that Glass had done a pretty good job, that everything was on a good trajectory, and they wanted somebody who was going to be able to continue that trajectory. And you couldn't pick anybody better, anybody who fits that mold better than Scott Dolson. I mean, Dolson really was, you know, Fred's right hand man for the last 10 years. I mean, it's like almost like anywhere you saw Fred, you saw Scott, and those guys were really in lockstep in a lot of things. They share a lot of, you know, similar philosophies, and it just got along really well. I mean, if you've met Fred or you met Scott, they both have like, they're both like the fraternity social chair, you know, like they're just such easygoing guys. They're easy to get to know, you know, very talkative to people, very good with people. And that's, you know, Scott's really background is in fundraising. I mean, that's how he really rose up the ranks in the athletic department, is through the varsity club. And he's just really good at getting to know people and very good, I guess, at convincing rich people to part with their money. But they've really been, I think, together when it's come to sort of the bigger projects that Glass had a part in, and, you know, Student Athlete Bill of Rights, and you know, all of just the capital projects that were built during Glass's tenure. So basically, it's a vision that's going to continue. And I think, you know, talking to Fred, you know, he feels like Scott's got a lot of his own ideas that, you know, he wasn't going to tell me. Basically, he was going to let Scott, you know, kind of make public on his own. But it's going to be a philosophical continuation, which is really good. But what's going to be different, and then Fred openly admitted this, pointed this out to me, and really has, I think, throughout his career. You know, Fred never prepared, you know, never acted as if he was an expert on sports in general or on any sport. He was a fan. He had an understanding that a fan would have. You know, he wasn't completely in the dark, but he didn't coach. I mean, he wasn't a high level athlete or anything like that. Where Scott had been, you know, a manager on the 87 national championship team, he got worked closely with Knight and really kind of saw how it operated. And Glass said he always really relied on Scott's counsel when it came to basketball. He said, like, "Look, what are you seeing here? Does this look good? You know, like Glass is just general type, as he's not an expert. He's going to be slow as far as making personnel decisions, getting rid of people that aren't, you know, that are doing all the right things from a compliance perspective but aren't performing well. You know, Scott was going to be more likely to say, hey, you know, we might want to look into this. You know, that we should, you know, set a higher bar for how much we're winning in this sport." So I think that's going to be, I think an interesting change there is Scott does have a little bit more expertise when it comes to basketball. You know, he has seen and operated at a really high level from the inside at Indiana. So, I mean, he knows he's got an idea what it takes. Obviously, it's a different ball game now in terms of what it's going to take for Indiana to get back there, because, I mean, they can't reanimate Bobby Knight. No, it's not reanimate. You know what I mean? Like, we can't bring him back to be the head coach.
Sure.
But it's not a situation where, you know, you can just reimagine Bob Knight in 1976 level and just plug him back in. But he has an idea of basically what it takes. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out differently. Because, again, Fred is never the type to walk around and say, like, I can coach better than you can. And Scott's not going to be that way either. But he does have sort of a deeper background when it comes to, you know, specific athletics. So Fred obviously was a guy who spent his entire career before being Indiana's athletic director in law and politics and that sort of thing. And he brought that to Indiana, but he always knew that there was sort of a gap in his understanding in terms of, you know, what it's like to really be a part of a high-level team.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining me. We're talking about new athletic director Scott Dolson, who got the job officially, and I guess it still has to go to the board for approval later, but all signs point he will take over Fred Glass's position. If it had not been an internal candidate like Dolson, if it had been one of the rumored, perhaps people with an IU connection, former IU player, there were a couple options in the world of college sports if Indiana had wanted to go that route. If Indiana had went the outside route, what would that have, I guess, what potential differences could we have seen from the path that's going to happen now with Dolson at the AD? Does that maybe make you wonder a little bit more about Archie Miller, about the direction of certain programs? I guess going from an internal candidate, you almost have a good idea what you're getting. An outside candidate, that opens up a lot more, you know, you just don't know what direction they're going to head. And with the school, if they had went outside, maybe they want to go a little different direction in certain things. Just interesting to look at it from that perspective. But if they'd went outside, what would that have said to you?
Well, it would have said that they were looking for something different. I think what's interesting even about that is some of the major names that you were hearing that were outside right now had not always been outside. I mean, Pat Kraft at Temple and Chris Reynolds at Bradley were two names we heard thrown about, and they had worked in Fred Glass's athletic department. So it wasn't like they were Indiana guys, and, you know, they had worked under Fred, and obviously they weren't as they weren't right next to Fred necessarily. I mean, Chris Reynolds was pretty high up before he left and, you know, looked for bigger positions. Pat Kraft was, I think was the marketing director, if I'm not mistaken, before he left. But both of those guys had been in important positions in the Fred Glass administration, if you will. And so obviously some of what they learned from him was going to be stuff that they were bringing back. So even if they went with one of those two guys, they wouldn't be going too far outside. If they would have went way outside, then obviously that would have said that the university is just generally not happy with what's been going on in Indiana. And that would have really surprised me, just based on things have generally been going well department-wise, but also they've been going well in a sense of things that look good to university leadership, you know, building buildings improving GPA, you know, the student athlete bill of rights. It's all kinds of stuff that you could see playing well with academics. So it would really shock me. It would have really shocked me if they would have gone way far afield to find somebody. If they would have gotten somebody that had never been in Fred's athletic department at all, that would have been really a surprise to me. And it would have said, okay, what do they want? What do they want that's different? And I guess that would have told you that it really is basketball that they'd be worried about. I mean, that would probably be the biggest sign that I can imagine. It's not that Indiana's been terrible at basketball in the last tenure, but there's obviously been down periods in the midst of, you know, you've had a couple great years in there, a couple bad, you know, it's been a mixed bag at best during the last years. And obviously Miller has done okay. I mean, I think, you know, the way Glass is looking at it is you basically have to evaluate Miller as if he got to the NCAA tournament this year, because, you know, they were right on the borderline, but it seemed like more likely than not, especially after that Nebraska win, they were going to get in if there had been a tournament. But if they would have gone outside, I think that would have told you that there are sports that they're really unhappy with, and you would have to think that means specifically basketball. And you would have to presume that whoever they brought in would be somebody who would really put Archie under a microscope. I mean, I still, even with a new athletic director, I don't think he would come in and let him go if it was somewhere way out there, just because, again, you know, he would be coming off of, it's a 20-win season at least, and it's, you know, I think, again, you'd have to view it as an NCAA tournament season, in one in which an NCAA tournament does not exist. And, you know, he also has Christian Lander coming in as a 5-star recruit. I mean, I just can't imagine, even if you went to get somebody from outside, if they would walk in the door and get rid of him. But you presume if it was somebody that was totally outside the family, that he would have a much closer microscope on him, and that basically that you know, again, presuming that there will be basketball starting in November, that next season will be watched very closely. And if there was a back step taken, you know, maybe conversations would start to be had at least. Maybe there would be an issue there. And then basically he'd be, I think, under a lot of scrutiny going forward if he were to get to year five. So that, I think it would definitely change the way Archie Miller's situation would go, because I think it would say if you had to have a reason to go outside of sort of the Fred Glass sort of leadership tree, then that I think would tell me that would be the one reason I could see it. If you're Indiana, you would want to do that. That would be maybe the one thing that you would circle and say, this is a reason we've got to think totally differently. And obviously what they decided is they don't. And basically that the overall health of the athletic department is good enough, and they trust that basketball will eventually come along with it.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, you know, good stuff on the AD position. That's something I'm sure we'll continue to talk about. And again, someone like Scott Dolson that has been around for so very long, he's just a familiar face around the basketball program, and obviously athletics as a whole, I think makes a lot of sense to see him take that next step and now lead the athletics department as a whole at Indiana. I do want to throw this out at you, and I've had a couple people tweet me or ask me, and we've asked for topics and suggestions as we try to get through this no sports phase of our life here, of our world, really. But I want to throw this out to you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, so we're obviously not going to hold you accountable because it's middle of March. We should be talking about this weekend's first and second round games and not about the 2020-2021 college basketball season. But Big Ten Conference next year, I want to talk about that for just a moment. And the reason I do, because I saw the national championship odds came out by one of the bookmakers out in Vegas yesterday, and there were a number of teams that were at least on the board with 50-1 odds or better. I think Michigan State maybe was 12-1. I can't remember. But what's your early, no research, no interviews, no prep for this, what's your early thought on the Big Ten Conference and where Indiana could be with who they return?
Man, now I'm kind of trying to reconsider. Okay, who's leaving? What class is where?
I should have gave you some heads up.
You know,
that's
obviously,
my apologies.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, I think, you know, just simply, you know, you always have to put Michigan State as part of the discussion. And presuming, you obviously Cassius is gone. I mean, I guess, are we presuming Xavier Tillman leaves? You know, that's kind of, I think, an interesting question. Because if they still have Tillman, and you know, they'll still have Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown and most importantly, Rocket Watts. I think Rocket Watts really started to make a leap toward the end of the year. That makes them a pretty, I think, viable team. And I don't know what all they've got coming in. I'm sure it's plenty. God, I haven't looked at their class, but it's Michigan State. So you got to presume that they're going to be sort of a part of it. It's Izzo, and, you know, there are still some talented young kids on that team coming up, guys who are going to get better. I think a Marcus Bingham gets better, you know, in this year. I think just after, like, he's still a skinny guy. He's showing some potential, but I think he should get better. But again, I think, again, Henry and Brown, you know, they had some ups and some downs this year. They get another year under their belt. They should have been a little bit better. But I think Rocket Watts is going to be one of those guys who really steps in and becomes a star. I guess you presume that Illinois loses Io and Coburn. Definitely Io. I would be really surprised if he came back. I mean, Kofi's just so huge. And so I'm guessing that they lose them, and that I think would be a pretty tough, pretty tough loss there, because I think they'll also lose Frazier. So, which is a shame, because I think that team was really good. They were fun to watch, and I think they would have made some noise in the tournament. So they probably take a back step just because of the amount of talent they're losing. Man, who am I forgetting? You know, Maryland obviously probably takes a hit too. Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith, you have to presume both of those guys are gone. Cowan's obviously gone as a senior, and Jalen's moving on. So, I mean, I think there's some other pieces there. Maybe Aaron Wiggins goes too. I think they might still be okay. Man, it's going to be – I think it's just going to be really muddled. I think that's the thing. It's like I haven't really looked at the freshman classes yet to see what everybody else has. But, again, I think you got to presume Michigan State's going to be up there. I think Michigan will be okay because I think they'll still have, like, Livers and some of those guys, and they'll also lose Simpson and Teske, and that's important. But I think some other guys were starting to grow into their roles and kind of expand a little bit, because obviously a lot of those guys didn't have a lot to do last season with some of the talented wings they had. So I think Michigan might have a chance to take a step up. But to get really straight to the point of Indiana, I mean, I think they would still be sort of a middle of the pack group, but you have to figure Trace Jackson Davis makes a leap. And I think obviously he had a pretty special freshman season to start with, and he has an idea what he needs to work on, where he needs to expand his game, and get better. I mean, hopefully, obviously he has some opportunities to expand, and, you know, gets it basically, and hopefully there will be some time for him in the not too distant future to get in a gym, and get against other humans and stuff like that, and get to develop his game. Who knows when that's going to be exactly, but hopefully soon, you know, he'll get to actually start, you know, working on making some outside shots, handling the ball outside, defending people on the perimeter, and showing more of those skills to really expand his game. But he's obviously going to be a centerpiece again. I think he'll learn a lot. I think he grew up a lot during this year. I think he certainly learned how to take over a game, how to step up, how to be, you know, just more physical when the time comes. So they're going to have that as a centerpiece. You know, losing Devontae Green, for as maddening as he is a significant deal. I mean, that is a guy that can get you a bunch of points out of the guard spot. They're going to need somebody else to do that. If that's Christian Lander, if he does manage to reclass and be part of that group, that obviously helps a lot. And they're going to have some experience with Tennessee and Durham coming back, but those guys obviously have to be more productive if Devontae's going to be there. They can't just, you know, move the ball around and you know, not turn it over. They've got to be able to be more playmakers and produce more. They'll have another year. Jerome Hunter, you have to presume he finally started to get his wind and you know, more of a sense of what he could be. And I think you saw just that there's a little bit more endurance there. We weren't sure what was going to be there. You know, I think that should help. That might make them a little bit better of a shooting team. Justin Smith coming back. Joey Brunk helps. I mean, they're going to have some pieces. You know, they're going to have the experience of at least having a good year, of having been capable of being a tournament team and sort of knowing and understand that. It hurts that they don't get the real experience of getting to play in a tournament, but at least they know, at least they've seen success to some extent. So I think that should really help their cause. But I think they should be middle of the pack, maybe a little bit higher than that. I mean, obviously, I don't think you look at it and say, well, this is going to be a great team. But, you know, you add Leo, you add Galloway, you add Geronimo. I think those are all nice pieces. That are guys that can shoot the basketball. I think that really helps. That should make them, I don't think they'll be a great shooting team, but they'll be at least be able to spread the floor more often than not. And I think that is a big step for them. So that I think should help Indiana be more competitive this year than they were this coming year than they were this past year. And, you know, again, I don't know that puts them in contention, but I think it at least puts them in a situation where they should be able to improve on what they did.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin, thanks for playing along there with my question.
No
I lobbed
problem.
To you there without much preparation, but it is fun to think about, and we won't hold you accountable.
Yep.
But I think as we get maybe a little bit down the line, it's going to be really interesting this year. The transfer portal is very active so far. It's probably something that, you know, we're going to hear more rumors about Indiana maybe looking at players that enter the portal. We wonder if anyone from Indiana will enter the portal. That's something that's coming up. The other thing
sure.
that's interesting is the NBA draft, and I won't ask you to get into that today, but it's going to be interesting because players might have to go to the draft and really not get the opportunity to work out for teams or to go to a combine if the current regulations about public events and this coronavirus situation continues on into May, which a lot of people think that it's very possible it's an 8-week or longer ordeal. So there are some interesting moments ahead for college basketball, for the NBA draft, for sports, even without games being played, that are going to be really, really interesting to see how all this plays out. Dustin, as always, thanks for being with us. We look forward to continuing our chats on IU and college hoops, the Big Ten, and more on Wednesdays. And I'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Matt.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, always with me Wednesdays on the show. We'll head to a break. We come back with our final segment today. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins. We talk about local sports. Do we play spring sports in Indiana at the high school level? Do we have a state championship reconvene for boys basketball? I vote very unlikely on both, but we'll talk with Josh about that and more. And also hearing some, it doesn't involve any of our local schools or coaches, but seeing some stuff, hearing some stuff on social media about Scottsburg, their boys basketball job. Apparently they've called a school board meeting for today to make a change in boys basketball. And I'll mention that after we talk to Josh. That segment with Josh, presented by ML Shirt Company, Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We'll be back with Josh Cook right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, even fully sublimated uniforms. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. And they bring us Josh Cook of the News and Tribune each week as we talk local sports here in Clark and Floyd counties. Josh, different times in local sports as well, much like the college level and professional sports. Not a lot actively going on. We're tracking some postseason stuff in basketball, lots of awards, lots of announcements about local players being honored, which is a great thing and always fun to do at this time of year. But I guess my question to you is, I've heard rumors from a couple high school basketball coaches. One is just a guy that's in the know and involved in our state. The other still has a team playing in the tournament if it reconvenes, that the IHSA has been working on a plan for April to reconvene the state tournament. One Saturday of regional games, the very next Saturday, one Saturday additional of a semi-state and state final in one day, which would mean two Saturdays to play out the rest of the state tournament as opposed to three. Now, obviously, mid-April, late April, I'm not sure that we're going to be through this thing based on the eight-week requirement of no public events right now that exists from the CDC. But it is interesting to hear that apparently discussions and planning ongoing to at least see if there's a way to reconvene the state tournament, which is very interesting to hear.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, like you said, I don't know if it's going to happen, but we'll see. But the old it would be kind of like the old days where you played the semifinals in the morning and then the finals at night for the state championship. So that would be kind of interesting, but you probably couldn't do that all at the Bankers Life. So you'd probably have to do that somewhere, maybe two sites. I don't know.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. The next question surrounding this coronavirus and how it's affected our local schools and sports scene, spring sports. I know that you're not a health expert. I know you're not a medical expert, but it just doesn't seem likely. I feel the same way about this rumored proposed April finish to the state tournament. It doesn't seem likely to me with school out, with an eight-week minimum right now, being recommended for no public events, the federal government saying right now 10 or less people at a, you know, even a private gathering together. And I think it's most people assume, at least I do, that the restrictions are only going to tighten up in the coming days as we really get into the heart of where this is headed, what this can do to our country and obviously the world. Do you see spring sports at the high school level? Baseball, softball, track and field, some of the things that we love and have had really good individual athletes and teams here in this area in those sports. Do you see that happening this year?
I'm definitely crossing my fingers that those things happen, but, you know, at this point it's not looking great, you know, with everything that you said. So, you know, at this point it's all up in the air, but hopefully we get some sort of semblance of a spring sports season. I don't know if that's even going to be possible. But, you know, at this point, you don't even know if the kids are going to be back at school between now and, you know, April, May, whatever.
You wonder if the timing worked out, if it was safe, would they ever consider something where, you know what, the regular season in these sports just isn't going to happen, but we're going to let you practice for a couple weeks, and then we're going to have a state tournament. We're going to have a championship, even if it was a modified, quicker state championship to get done by the summer, maybe not run it too far back into the summer. You wonder if and when we get to that point where you can see through this and you can start to plan and have some events and make, okay, this is going to be a clear point, we think, to get back out in anything, sports, regular life, concerts, whatever it may be. You wonder if that won't be stuff that's tried to work through. And I hope it is for those athletes' sake, especially the seniors for sure. But definitely interesting times. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with me. This segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company. Josh, what's your family been up to? We talk about sports. So I try to work in some other things. You've got kids. Are you staying in? Are you writing the sports page and stories from home? I mean, what's things been like, and how different has this been for you as well? I know it's affected all of us.
Yeah, we're staying in most of the time. I am going into the office in the evening still, but you know, there's usually not too many people in there at that point. But yeah, we're doing a lot of a lot of playing games, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is my guest. Josh, we've had some local seniors be recognized, especially boys basketball here lately, which is always fun to see. A number of guys were named in the top 100 for the Hoosier Basketball Magazine. A handful of guys named in the top 60. We've had all conference teams come out for the Hoosier Hills Conference. I may have missed a couple conferences, but it's that time of year for those postseason awards. And I don't know about you, but whether it's a small announcement, a college commitment, an all-conference team, some sort of postseason award, kind of pay a little bit more attention to those things, and because we don't have the amount of news flowing in that we normally do. So I guess it gives us an opportunity, whether it's me on the radio, you in the sports page of the News and Tribune, to kind of pump up some of these athletes that maybe in a normal time when you're trying to cover games and keep up with everything, you know, you just get a little mention for something, or maybe it slips through the cracks. But definitely looking forward to those things. It gives us a chance to recognize a lot of athletes that deserve recognition. So I don't know about you, but I've been kind of holding on closer to some of these postseason things we've been seeing come through.
Heck yeah, that's great. Gives me something to put in the newspaper, that's for sure. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thanks for being with us. You guys continuing to put out a paper, a sports page. Chris Morris, the gang, lots of good work. Appreciate your time today, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. This segment presented by Major League Sports, Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. And I mentioned this coming into the or going out of the last segment. Interesting word right now coming out of Scottsburg. And, you know, things on social media really can take off nowadays. But I see that Scottsburg, and again, things can change, but as of this morning, had a noon meeting scheduled today, their school board, to apparently make a change with boys basketball. Brent Jamison has been the coach with the Scottsburg program. They seem to have been improved in recent years, but apparently the word on social media, in fact, his wife taking to social media to kind of let people know that amid this crisis, amid people supposed to stay home, they're going to call a school board meeting today and apparently at least start the process to make a change for the boys basketball coach at Scottsburg. So, again, doesn't affect our immediate area, but is an interesting time to make a coaching change. There's no question about that. And so it looks like Brent Jamison may be done at Scottsburg. We'll have more for you on that tomorrow. But an interesting time to make a change. You wonder, normally this time of year, not only with college basketball, but with high school basketball, we're talking about potential changes and coaches that could not be back next year. And of course, we have some interesting situations here locally to think about. And you never know when someone is going to hang it up or someone does want to make a change. But I don't know that we'll get to that this year because there's so many other priorities, it would seem, for school corporations and for high schools and with athletics right now, that you wonder, will coaches that maybe want to get out stay another year till their things are back normal again? Will maybe a school that wants to make a change hold on another year because they think it's the right thing to do for continuity in the program with all the other changes that are going on? But at Scottsburg, it looks like they, at least unless something changes, making a change in boys basketball there. That's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, we're going to continue on with this program live each day at 11 o'clock. The replay at 3 o'clock. You can find the podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Follow me on social media at Hoosier Hills, all one word on Twitter, Hoosier Hills, and the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison Facebook page. You can get updates on who our guests are going to be there. You can find out podcasts, links to podcasts, and other announcements for the show. So we're trying to keep it rolling. Lots of sports, but we're going to do some local stuff with politicians and leaders and other things like that that we feel are important to do at this time of year, given the situation we have with this coronavirus. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll be back with you Thursday. Alex Bozich is with us tomorrow. Also, I don't know the exact day yet, but we're going to have Paul Neidig on of the IHSA to talk about, obviously, the cancellation, the postponement of high school basketball, the state tournament, talk about spring sports and what a crazy time this has been for leaders of sports in our state, really our country, not just in sports, but in all facets. That wraps it up for today. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I'll be back with you at 11 a.m. tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.